We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, 1 Peter chapter 5, and our text is verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Modern Christians have very little fear of the devil. Most evangelicals say that they believe in Satan, and yet they act as if Satan was a myth. What about you? Are you aware of Satan? Does he bother you? Are you conscious of him? And do you resist him? If there was a literal lion outside this hall tonight, would you not be very wary going out to your car after the service? You would be frightened, wouldn't you? You would rush to your car and hope you would get in without trouble. But there's something worse than a literal lion around. There's a spiritual, invisible lion who can hurt you spiritually and eternally. The scriptures warn us against Satan. Be sober, be vigilant, be watchful, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let's think a little bit, first of all, tonight then, about the adversary, the enemy. He's described here as a roaring lion. So that gives a picture of an angry, aggressive lion. We're told that he walks about. He's prowling, looking for prey, looking for people to savage and to devour. Does he actually devour people, Satan? Yes, he does. That's what we have here. The scripture doesn't tell any lies. Satan is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he does devour people. It's sad how many professing Christians he devours. How many who seem to have started off well in the Christian life, and then they make shipwreck. Satan's got them. Who is Satan? Well, Satan was one of the most powerful angels. He was an archangel in heaven, created perfect. But then he sinned, rebelled against God, and was thrown out of heaven along with his followers. Now, we're not told about this. We're not told very much about this in the scriptures. So we have, in a sense, to read between the lines. We know that he was a perfect angel at the beginning. Now he's a fallen angel. And he's a mighty fallen angel. And he has many, many devils, thousands of them, under his command. Furthermore, we know that there's no gospel we know that there's no gospel for Satan and for his devils. It's wonderful how it is with men and women, how thankful we should be. Christ took not on him the form of angels to save angels, but took upon him the form, the seed of Abraham, in order to save men and women. So there's no gospel for devils. They're doomed, and there's no mercy. But for men and women, there's a gospel. There's good news. There's a Saviour. And men and women are called to believe in the Saviour. And if they believe in the Saviour, they will be saved. Christ is freely offered as a Saviour to every man and woman in the world. Whosoever will, let him come, let him take, let him receive Christ as Saviour, and he will be saved. But there's no Saviour for the devil. So he's under sentence of condemnation. And he knows that his time is short. He's got this time between now and the judgment day. And during that time, he's able to walk about seeking whom he may devour. Cast out of heaven, he's come to this earth, and he goes about from place to place, walks up and down in this world looking for prey, looking for people that he can attack, that he can pounce on and destroy them. He loves to destroy. God is the creator, Satan's the destroyer. God makes people happy, blesses them with salvation, blesses them with all sorts of answers to prayer and all kinds of good things. The devil does nothing good, but everything evil and destructive. Satan is full of hatred for God. And because he hates God, he hates everything that belongs to God. Remember how at the very beginning he came into the beautiful paradise that God had created. There was the Garden of Eden, and everything was lovely. Peace and joy and love and fellowship with God and knowledge of God and righteousness and holiness. Everything was in harmony. Everything was beautiful. Everything was full of life. And in comes Satan. And Satan comes up to Eve and pretends to be Eve's friend. Well, he's still pretending to be people's friend today. And he's telling them how to be happy, how to enjoy themselves, how to have a good time. So he comes up to Eve and he says to Eve, "Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" She said, "We may eat of all the trees, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, we're not to eat of it or to touch it, lest we die." And then Satan says, "You shall not surely die. Surely God didn't create you to kill you. God is love. God is so kind and so loving, and you're a child of God, and you shall not surely die. But you know, just look at this fruit. If you're to eat of it, if you would eat this fruit, you know, something great would happen. You would feel tremendous. And you would be like God, knowing good and evil. Just think of it. Take this fruit and you'll actually be like God. God's keeping something good from you. Listen to me. I know what will make you really happy. I know what will satisfy you, what will fill you with pleasure. Take this fruit and eat it, and you'll be like God." And Eve was deceived, and she took the fruit, and she ate it, and she gave to Adam, and he ate it. And instead of becoming like God, they became like the devil. Children of the devil. And Satan went away laughing. God had created Adam and Eve in his own image. And the devil had destroyed the image of God in man and given to men and women the image of himself. And he set himself up as the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, and the prince over all mankind. You shall not surely die. Trust me. I know how you can be happy. And then the fall came. And sin and misery entered into the experience of man. There were consequences in disobeying God. Thorns and thistles. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Pain and childbirth. Enmity. And death. Sickness and death. The whole creation affected. The inanimate creation, writhing in agony, waiting for the redemption of the children of God. The plant creation, the animal creation, death everywhere, suffering everywhere, pain everywhere. God's beautiful world destroyed by Satan. I remember once talking to a drug addict in the multi-story flats near our church. He said to me, "I hate Eve." "Why do you hate Eve?" "Because she ate the forbidden fruit. And see the mess we're in. Here I am, a drug addict. My life is destroyed. My body's destroyed. I've got no hope. I'm dying here. I hate Eve for eating that forbidden fruit." Interesting way of putting it, but really, you should hate Satan. And hate the Satan who tempted him to become a drug addict. But not just that, he should acknowledge his own part, because Adam and Eve, Adam was a representative, and Adam did just what he would have done if he had been in that Garden of Eden. And so human history changed. We find Cain and Abel coming to offer sacrifices to God. And by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Faith that comes by hearing. Abel took the word of God that was promised, and the promised sacrifice, and came with a firstborn, a firstling of the flock, and offered it, and it was accepted. And Cain came with a mere thank offering, rejoicing in himself and in his self-righteousness. Didn't realize that he needed blood to wash away his sin. And because Abel was accepted by God, the devil entered into Cain, and Cain murdered his brother. How sad. We can think of Adam and Eve standing at the first grave that they opened, digging this grave and placing there their son, and thinking, what a mess. What a mess, because we listen to Satan. Here our family fighting against one another, and here we are burying our own son murdered by his brother. Well, that's what Satan does. That's what Satan loves to do. A roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And we go on from there, and we see in world history how Satan tempted people, and the increasing sex and violence that was going on, until in the end this world was such a wicked place that God had to destroy it with a flood. And then even after the flood, you would think people would have learned. But they were still listening to Satan. And he was still devouring people. And so we see Sodom and Gomorrah given over to the most gross and vile immorality. The sodomy that is practiced so widely in our own country today. So that God's fire and brimstone came down upon these cities. Satan devouring men and women. We could give a few more examples. We think of Ishmael, such a privileged young man, with a godly father Abraham and a godly mother Hagar. Thou God seest me. And when the child of promise came along, he was jealous and mocked Isaac, cast out the bondwoman and her son. We think of Joseph's brothers, godly Joseph. They were jealous of him and sold him as a slave into Egypt. We think of Saul's hatred for David, the Lord's chosen, the one after God's own heart, the Lord's anointed, and how Saul tries repeatedly to murder David. Satan taking over Saul. We think of Jeroboam with his golden calves causing Israel to sin. Satan entered into him. God gave him the 10 tribes, but he thought he needed Satan's help to keep them. And so he made the golden calves. We come on into the New Testament and we find King Herod hearing that there's a king born in Bethlehem. And the devil enters into him so that he massacres all the children in Bethlehem in an attempt to kill the Messiah. And the Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, full of hatred for Jesus. Why? Because Satan had entered into them. And Satan hated Christ. We think of Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan, says Christ to Peter. Just imagine it. If Jesus was here and said to you, get thee behind me, Satan. But Satan entered into God's chosen apostle, Peter. And Satan tried to use Peter to turn Christ away from the cross. Far be it for thee to go to the cross. And then we think of another of the disciples, Judas. And Satan entered into him so that he betrayed his Lord. And then Satan finished him off, took him, and caused him to commit suicide. That's Satan. That's what Satan loves doing. Devouring apostles, devouring Christians. That's his work, Satan's work. We see the early church growing and thriving and flourishing. And Satan enters into Ananias and Sapphira. And they sell some land and they pretend when they come with the money, that's all we got for it. And they agreed together to lie against the Holy Ghost. And they were struck down dead because Satan had devoured them. We think of the churches in Revelation, the church at Ephesus, a great, strong church, lots of people in it. What a wonderful beginning it had. What amazing ministers they had in Ephesus. They had, first of all, they had Paul and they had Apollos. Then later on, they had John, the apostle too. And yet, Ephesus, you have left your first love. Sardis, Satan entered in there. You have a name that you live and are dead. Laodicea, you've become lukewarm and I'll spew you out of my mouth. Why? Because Satan had come in and taken over. Fellow Christians, you're in war. And Satan's against you. Remember, the roaring lion is going about seeking whom he may devour. Satan's out to get you. Do you realize that? Satan wants to destroy you. Satan wants to drag you down to hell, to make a mess of your life. Satan is very clever. Satan's highly experienced. Satan's been destroying people for thousands of years. And Satan will do everything in his power to destroy you. So we have here, in the second place, an exhortation. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? He's your enemy. He's God's enemy. He hates God. He has the unconverted as his slaves. He targets Christians. He would murder you if he could. He'd cause you to commit suicide if you listen to him. Think of the book of Job, that first chapter. We're told about the sons of God coming before God, the angels. And amongst the sons of God, you remember, there was Satan. And God asked him, where do you come from? From walking up and down on the earth, from going to and fro. There he is. Walking up and down in the earth, looking for some unwary prey, looking for a Christian who's not on guard, looking for a Christian who's vulnerable, who's waiting for a little suggestion, a little temptation to stir up the flesh, to pressurize them in some way, to tempt and seduce them, to destroy them. He's always on the prowl. Where have you been, Satan? Walking up and down in the world, prowling like a hungry lion. He's devoured millions in his day. Some he's completely destroyed, and others he's savaged them. And they find it hard to recover from the wounds of Satan. Think of King Saul. King Saul appears so impressive at the beginning. He meets up with Samuel and he's such a humble man. And he seems to be so humble, and Samuel anoints him with the oil, you remember. And he's given a new heart, a heart to reign, and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. And there's so much that's attractive in this young man Saul. But then as time goes by, Satan gets him, doesn't he? He doesn't listen to Samuel. And in his pride, he offers the sacrifice himself. He's told by God to wipe out the Amalekites completely. But instead of doing it, keeps the best of the sheep and the cattle and Agag, their king. He refused to do what God said. And then later on, we find him trying to kill David. And finally he goes to a familiar spirit, to a witch. And in the end, he commits suicide. The Spirit of the Lord left him, and an evil spirit, Satan, came and took over Saul. Such a great beginning. And such a miserable end. What a warning. You think of Judas in the same way. Judas, chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ to be one of the 12 apostles. He went out preaching the gospel just like the other apostles, casting out devils, performing miracles. And then Satan got in there. His love of money, tempted to steal from the bag, annoyed when Mary wasted in his view, wasted the precious ointment, pouring it over Jesus, the perfume. And in the end, he went to the chief priests and the elders, and he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. How sad! A great beginning and a miserable end. He hung himself, and the rope broke, and his bowels were torn by the rocks and shed abroad. What a miserable conclusion. Satan got him. Paul tells us about a fellow worker that he had, Demas, and tells us how Demas is sending greetings to the Colossians and Philemon. And then later in 2 Timothy, we're told, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Satan got him. The love of the world, Demas destroyed. But sometimes Christians are badly wounded too. Very badly wounded. Think of Lot. Remember Lot's wife? Well, she was destroyed by Satan. She looked back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. But Lot was a righteous man. He vexed his righteous soul from day to day when he saw the unlawful deeds of the people of Sodom, their wickedness. But you remember how Lot was highly privileged. He was part of Abraham's household. And what a privilege that must have been to be at family worship. And Abraham, the father of the faithful, the godly Abraham there, leading family worship every day. And Lot was in there hearing his uncle and being taught by him and learning about Jesus. Abraham saw my day and he was glad, Jesus said. Lot was greatly blessed. But then he wanted to be rich. And so he left Abraham and he chose the plains of Sodom. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now Sodom was exceedingly wicked before the Lord. He pitched his tent towards this wicked place. And then a chapter or two later you read that he's got a house in Sodom. He's moved right inside Sodom. Oh, he made a lot of money. He became very, very wealthy. But it was all burnt up in Sodom. What good did it do him? And he ended up living in a cave with his two daughters. Tragic. A righteous man. A man of God. Savaged by the devil. Think of another man, King Asa. King Asa did a lot of good work. He was a king, a good king of Judah. And he had a wonderful victory over the Ethiopians, trusting in God. But then the Israelites came against him. And he put his trust in the Syrians to defend him, rather than God. And when he was rebuked by Hanani the prophet, he took God's prophet and put him in prison. Satan got him. And at the end of his days, he was diseased in his feet. And in his disease, he sought to physicians rather than to God. A good man, savaged by the devil. We think of Peter himself. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. I'll die with you, Lord. Though everyone else forsake you, I'll never forsake you. Is that true? No. Satan got him, and he denied his Lord three times with oaths and curses. And he went out and he wept bitterly. It was a painful weeping, that. And no doubt it continued with him all his life, how at the critical moment he had failed because Satan got him. Today we see many Christians who start off well and fall away. There's quite a number in our own church too. Quite a number in fairly prominent families in our church. It ought to give us a concern. It's very sad to see it. Young people who start off well, they make profession of faith, they seem to be converted, and Satan gets them. Were they ever converted? Well, who knows? Only the judgment day will tell. But they've certainly been savaged by the roaring lion. What a warning. Warning to young people, but not just young people. Sometimes it's old Christians who bring the biggest shame on God's cause. So then, thirdly, how are we to resist the devil? Whom resist? Steadfast in faith. How are we to resist him? First thing we're told about here is be sober. Moderation in all things. Beware of drink. Alcoholic drink so often is the first step down the road. Amazing how some people almost from the... Yes, some people say the first drink they take, they're addicted. I've known several people who've said that. Addiction from the very beginning. How careful we have to be. And drinking a little, and taking a bit more, and then that breaking down barriers, and that weakening resistance, and then other things follow. Drink leads to deceitfulness, and lies, and immorality, and all kinds of other things. Beware of drugs, very much available in our day. How many people, I've known people who've been at Bible college, and they're drug addicts. Thought they would be ministers, thought they would be preachers of the gospel, drug addicts. How sad. Music, ungodly music, it acts like a drug itself. The wild music that drugs people again into immorality and wickedness. Beware of ungodly friends getting too close, joining up in parties with others who will lead you astray. It's so easy to be carried along by others. A little. Satan says, it's just a little thing. It's not very much. It won't do you any harm. Come on. You'll enjoy it. You'll really have a good time. You'll feel great. And he goes away laughing as he sees he's got you destroyed. How careful we have to be. Be sober. Be vigilant. That means watchful. Realize Satan is setting traps for you. Try this, try that. Amazing how social media can get us into things. The internet can be such a good means of spreading around the gospel and all sorts of good things. And at the same time, such a dangerous trap. Pornography and all sorts of things that destroy people. Pressure from the world around us, pressure from people at work, pressure from friends. We all have animal appetites. We have to take care. Watch these animal appetites. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Whom resist? James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist the devil though? With the sword of the Spirit. Get thee behind me, for it is written. Get thee behind me, because God says I shouldn't do that. God's law tells me how I should live. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee hence, Satan. Don't yield an inch to the devil. Remember, if you yield an inch, it's a slippery slope. It's so easy to slide down that slope. The sword of the Spirit. So important to know the Bible, to remember the Bible, to apply the Bible in your life. And then there's the shield of faith, able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. The fiery darts of the devil that he throws, with burning pitch on them to set on fire your lusts. The shield of faith. I believe. I trust in Christ. I depend on him. I look to him. By grace I can overcome Satan. I won't listen. I won't go down that road that destroys. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Faith overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil. The breastplate of righteousness. That's the righteousness of Christ. You know, the devil has a common trick. He says, you've fallen. You've sinned. You're lost. You might as well go on and sin. What's the difference between going to hell with 2 sins and 3 sins and 100 sins and going to hell with 1 sin? You've made a mess of things. God's not interested in you. God hates you. But we've got to remember the breastplate of righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. Yes, I have sinned. Better to sin 1 sin than 2 sins. I will not sin again. I won't go on sinning. Because Christ died for me. And his blood has washed away all my sins. And you're saying God hates me, but he doesn't hate me. God loves me, and I'm not going to grieve him further by going on further in sin. But I'm going to resist the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. I have fallen, yes, but I'm not going to fall further. I'm not going to go further down that road. The helmet of hope. The hope of salvation. So important to protect your head in war. All soldiers wear helmets. Hope. The hope of heaven. What hope can the devil give you? The trivial pleasures of this world and an eternity in hell. You have the hope of salvation. Eternal life in heaven. Use that helmet. And then the weapon of all prayer. Flee to Christ. Flee to the cross. Pray to the Lord. Pray for strength. Stay close to the Lord. Remember, you're in a war. How stupid it would be if you were out there in Ukraine and Bakhmut and you're just walking around as if there was nothing to worry about. When there's snipers all around and there's all kinds of danger. Anybody in their right mind will watch and be careful and try and stay in safe places. You too are in a war, far more deadly. A war of not just the possibility of dying, but the possibility of hell forever. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Always be alert. Beware particularly of antinomianism. Antinomianism, what's that? Antinomianism is the idea I'm converted. I'm saved. I'm okay. Doesn't matter what I do, I'll get to heaven. I was born again 10 years ago. I'm okay. My sins are forgiven. I can do this, I can do that, and it doesn't matter. That's one of the great snares of the devil, through which he traps many people and he devours and destroys them. How do you know you were converted? The only way you know you were converted is if you are converted today and living like a converted person. The only way you can know you're converted is by exercising faith and repentance today. By their fruits ye shall know them. And if you say you were converted 10 years ago and you're living like the world today in sin, you've got no right to assurance. You're just deluding yourself. Satan has pulled the wool over your eyes. You see, Satan can give you a pretend conversion and you think you're converted. And you are never converted. The only way you can know you're converted is by living like a Christian. And that means continuing to repent and continuing to believe the gospel. So friends, there's a great challenge for us here on the Thursday night of our communion. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Let us pray. O Lord our God, if thou wouldst touch our hearts, help us to heed the warnings of Scripture. Help us, Lord, to be vigilant and watchful for Satan, to be sober and moderate in our appetites and behavior, to exercise restraint, to remember that we are the blood-bought children of God, to turn a deaf ear to Satan, and to have our ear ever listening to the call of Christ, to the Word of God, listening to the teachings of thy Word. Teach me, O Lord, the perfect way of thy precepts divine. Forgive us for all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing praise is Psalm 70. The 70th Psalm, the first version. Lord, haste me to deliver. With speed, Lord, succor me. Let them that for my soul do seek, shamed and confounded be. Turn back be they, and shamed, that in my hurt delight. Turn back be they, ha ha, that say, their shaming to requite. Psalm 70, this whole psalm.
Lord, haste me to